Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to Sound Insight. This is Tom Curran. St. Philip Neri, pray for us. He was a tremendous reformer in the time of the Catholic Reformation in the 16th century. And he's going to give us some insight today, later in the program. During the first part of the program, I'm going to be interviewing a couple of women from the Emerald Heights Classical Liberal Arts High School in Bellevue. And I'm excited about that conversation, which we'll have after we acknowledge our sponsors. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute with Sound Insight. Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, good and gracious God, we do love you and thank you that you do take care of us. And in Jesus' name, we approach you with confidence. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be stirred in our hearts. Lord, we want to honor you in every thought, word, and deed. Give us wisdom and courage. Give us the insight to know what to do and the strength to do it. We make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We live in very challenging times in the church. And even as these big, like, earth-shattering challenges are facing the Catholic Church around the world, as we pray for our Holy Father, there's still the task of forming and educating our kids in the life of faith and, well, as human beings. And for many of us, we look to our schools as a place of, well, complementing, supplementing, and really helping move forward that work. So today on Sound Insight, I have two women who are joining me to discuss that theme from Emerald Heights Academy. Let's bring them on right now. And I want to welcome to the program Julie Flynn and Laura Lee joining me from representing today Emerald Heights Academy. Hey, welcome to the program. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, so today we're here to talk about Emerald Heights Classical Liberal Arts High School. First of all, I love the name. That is so cool. I've been familiar with Emerald Heights through the years, have gone out and visited the school, spoken to the parents and kids before, been present at events there. In fact, I heard Michael Medved during I think he had like a presentation and a fundraising breakfast there one time. So I'm just thrilled at the idea of promoting Catholic education here in the Archdiocese of Seattle. So thanks so much for taking time to be with me today.
You're welcome.
Glad to be here. Just to get started, what jumps out at me is that what we're talking about is a high school, and it's at Emerald Heights, not just Emerald Heights High School, but Emerald Heights Classical Liberal Arts High School. I'm guessing that that was intentional.
Yes, it is. Liberal arts education is really about perfecting human excellence. It's about reading and studying the great books in addition to textbooks. We do use textbooks, but mostly focused on the great books. These are the books in the West that have the been carrying the great conversation, as you might say, the best that's been thought and said. These are the things that deal with the formation of the whole person. Focusing on the liberal arts, and the definition there is those arts that are worthy of a free person, the studies by which we attain and practice virtue and wisdom, training and developing the highest gifts of the body and mind. These are the things that answer one of the most foundational questions of the day, which is, what does it mean to be a person? What is personhood?
Well, I love that. Boy, it's a whole approach to education that is rooted in a very intentional philosophy, in a very intentional way of looking at the world, a very intentional way of looking at the person and our part in the world. And for me, that's very attractive. Sort of full disclosure, when I first entered the seminary as a junior in college, the degree that we got was a degree in philosophy, and it was from a liberal arts college. And so that was something that I very much can appreciate. And I have to tell you, a liberal arts education has prepared me in so many ways to be able to do the work I've done, not only in ministry, but also in the work of serving, believe it or not, corporate executives of all people. There is something about a kind of wholeness that is introduced into someone's life when you're educating not only the mind, but the heart and the will. So
exactly.
Teaching the mind, educating the heart, forming the will. I love those three elements of a holistic approach to education.
Yeah.
Give our listeners a bit more of an understanding of how that actually shows up at Emerald Heights Classical Liberal Arts High School.
One of the ways it shows up is we're going to be using Healing the Cultures, Principles, and Choices curriculum for high schoolers. And as you know, Tom, this is rooted in philosophy and reason, and it will help our children bring that to the issues of the day. Again, what Julie said, what does it mean to be a person?
Well, and you know, I know our listeners very much are familiar with the work of Healing the Culture, just doing Camille Pauly, just doing such important work there to help develop that curriculum and carry it forward, and just carrying forward the legacy of Father Spitzer. To be able to say that here's a school locally, here's a high school locally that can really dig into, you know, wrap their arms around the fullness of that curriculum, that's a beautiful thing. And that's a rare thing. And sadly, it's a rare thing. So I'm thrilled that there's a high school here in the local area that is taking that on. Mm-hmm. Now, I know, Laura, you and Julie both are very much committed to Emerald Heights Academy. Julie, you're a teacher there. Mm-hmm. And Laura, you've had kids go through the grade school. But now at the high school level, that's a beautiful thing that you're stepping in at this level. Let me ask you, Julie, you who not only teach there but have one of your kids going to the school, what made you decide Emerald Heights is the right place for my high schooler?
Well, when I looked around, I didn't see any other options offering this particular mode of education. I see a lot of different programs, but I didn't see any high school curriculum doing the classical liberal arts in an integrated way. One of our signature programs that we have in the high school is called the CORE. It's the 3 afternoons a week where for 2.5 hours, we're immersed in an integrated format with history, literature, Catholicism, philosophy, art, geography, pretty much a whole bunch of stuff from a Catholic perspective. And this was something I was very blessed to have in college, and I really wanted my daughter to have this opportunity. So much of what we do have is kind of more of a narrow focus to the education. It's emphasized on, you know, getting into a good college or a career or productivity. And that kind of ties in with what I was saying is the main question of the day, which is, what does it mean to be a person? What is a person? And so much of the defining definitions you hear today are based around productivity and ability instead of an intrinsic personhood that is valuable regardless of what a person can produce or achieve. And of course, we see this crisis on the life issue front. You know, we see it very badly in a philosophical area, just kind of across the board. Our students are confused about so many fundamental aspects of life. So that's why I got involved. I was very blessed to have such an education. I love it. I've been teaching the classical liberal arts in the areas of history and literature for about 10 years. And so I'm very excited to be part of this effort.
And Tom, I'm excited to be part of this effort because I see education as the pursuit of wisdom and virtue. That's what we'd like to reclaim and have Catholic education be, the pursuit of wisdom and virtue, so our kids can have a good life, not just a good job.
Yeah, another thing that that is so wonderful about a really good liberal arts education is that it teaches the student to question so many things of life. A classical education has the power to help us question ourselves, our most cherished values, to talk back, if you will, as you read. It's not enough just to know about the classics. You need to immerse and know the classics intimately. So you can wrestle with the questions. What does it mean to be a citizen? What is honor? What's the difference between merely avoiding sin and practicing virtue? What is nature? What is human nature? What is honor? These are the great questions. And when you, immerse the students in the original works and then throw them into the debate arena with the greatest minds in history, wow, they rise beyond their expectations. And it's a very exciting thing to see.
And Tom, we think it's no coincidence that we're having this discussion on the Feast of St. Augustine.
Yeah, I think you want someone profound? There you go. I actually, when I was studying theology at the doctoral level, one of my classmates said that one of the sadnesses in his life is that he would not be able to read all of Augustine in his lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And Augustine is a great spokesman for what we're all about at Emerald Heights High School. He was classically trained, and so he came to Christianity through the classics. And so many, the classics kind of take a bashing today from the right and the left. And, you often hear people say, why do Christians need to read the classics? Can't they just go to church teachings and the Bible and read the lives of the saints? But, there are modes of understanding in the whole arena of the human imagination, which is awoken mainly through great literature. Christ himself spoke in parables. He did not speak in theologic tomes, in catechesis. He spoke in literary terms, speaking to the imagination. And so that is what we seek to awaken and nurture in our students.
I'm talking today with Julie Flynn and Laura Lee. They're very engaged at the Emerald Heights Classical Liberal Arts High School. Julie's a teacher and a parent of a student there, and Laura is also a committed parent with kids that have graduated from the grade school and another one looking forward to the high school at Emerald Heights Classical Liberal Arts High School. Here's how I would put it. So there's a beautiful theological axiom that grace builds on nature. It doesn't destroy it, but it elevates it and purifies it. Grace builds on nature. And one of the things that I discovered in my time in the seminary was that a way for me to grow spiritually was to read the classics.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember dedicating the better part of a year in my seminary formation, apart from the curriculum that I was, studying through my academic work, I would work my way through a list of the classics.
Mm-hmm.
The librarian at the North American College was sort of famous for this list of 100 books that any cultured man ought to have read. And so it was his list of classic works in just English literature. He limited it to English language literature. And so I spent the year going through much of Shakespeare, several works by Charles Dickens, and off it went. And I got to tell you, it was humanizing.
Yes, very much
and
so.
And I mean that in the best sense. It was so humanizing, and that was like, widening the very foundation for my spiritual development. Does that make sense? Is that ringing true with you all? You're getting very excited here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Laura and I both were blessed with a liberal arts education, and we have had several conversations, but just driving over here, we were talking about how, it's like you see the world differently. It's like you're on a mountaintop when you've been part of this great conversation that goes back 3,000 years. When you've been wrestling with, all the great minds through history, there is a way of seeing that is so amazing. And this is valuable in and of itself. It is not a means towards an end. But having said that, locally we have a venture capitalist, Dr. Bob Kelly, who's got a PhD in English literature. He was interviewed recently, and he asked, how does your English literature background affect how you approach technology and venture capital job? And Bob has also had a long career with Microsoft, and he said, You know, we're seeing more discussion in the public sphere about the liberal arts education, how valuable it is to business, because students are taught how to think through a problem, not just complete a task. That is a huge change in education from when I was young. This is a paradigm shift, and I am super excited to be part of a fledgling effort to recover that vision, that connectivity. You know, it gets back to what is community? A community is, you know, you're local, who you're related to. It's larger, your church, your school, your city. But your community also spans time. When you do the liberal arts, you are part of a community that goes back through all the great minds, starting, you know, with Homer himself. And that is extremely exciting, and it gives you a whole different vision. You walk around and you see things differently, and it is so cool.
You know, I love your perspective on that. And Laura, as you also hear that, what is it that jumps out at you in terms of the humanizing dimension of immersing oneself in a classic liberal arts education?
It makes me think of how we want to awaken the spirits and the imagination of our young people, right? We want them to be fully alive, not just kind of walking zombies. We want them to awaken their spirits and their hearts. And I myself, having been out of this college for 30 years, I want my spirit awakened, because sometimes I feel like I'm a taskmaster and I'm just doing the daily task myself, and I fall into that utilitarian mindset, unfortunately. We all do. So we want to start a mom's group where the moms start reading these classics so that our spirits and hearts can be humanized and awakened as well.
With wine.
Oh, good. I was wondering how long was it going to take to bring that
and
into
chocolate.
The conversation. Yes. The important things in life. I'm talking with Julie Flynn and Laura Lee from Emerald Heights Classic Liberal Arts High School. And we'll be back in a minute with more conversation. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. Today, I am chatting with Julie Flynn and Laura Lee, and they are joining me today to talk about a classical liberal arts education, and they are from Emerald Heights Classical Liberal Arts High School in Bellevue. And I do want you to know that if you want to learn more information about their school, you can go to emeraldheights.org, emeraldheights.org. And there you can see on the website some wonderful pages to links of information where they lay out the purpose of a Catholic education and the philosophy and the mission of Emerald Heights Classical Liberal Arts High School.
And
so,
Tom, you can, when you go to the website, there's a high school tab, so you can click on that for more information, enrollment documents. There's phone number there. If you would like to be involved in any way, anybody, we would love to have
people involved in the effort of advancing classical liberal arts in the Seattle area.
So, and if you want to get more information, do you all want to give a phone number to call if they want to be in touch with one of you or the school itself?
The school phone number is 425-643-1671.
Why don't you give that out one more time?
425-643-1671.
That's excellent. The basic rule, and I learned this from Ron Belter, the president general manager at Sacred Heart Radio. You give the number out like 3 or 4 times, slower than you can imagine, painfully slow, because people are running for pens, and they're like, oh, please, would you say that number again? So the number is 425-643-1671. Mm-hmm. 425-643-1671. And again, it's emeraldheights.org, emeraldheights.org. And so, for parents who are thinking about for their kids for, let's say, the upcoming school year, is it too late for them to?
Not at all.
Okay,
please,
great.
Please come check us out. We would love to have visitors. I would love to talk to any prospective parents or students. Very excited. One thing about the great books is that they are for all. This is the polar opposite of an elite education. This is for every single person. And I, you know, we offer a very competitively priced curriculum. We also have are offering, you know, a la carte classes if some of the homeschooling community would like to just take Latin. We have a fantastic Latin teacher, just biology or just the core. We offer that as well. One more thing, Tom, I did want to mention is that a key thing that we're doing there is working very hard to create independent learners and students who or learn to become curious and driven to chase down areas that they have become curious about, as well as intentional formation in the virtues. So those are some key hallmarks of what we're doing. But the main thing is that this is really for everybody, these conversations.
Well, and you know what? They're sorely missing today in this digital age.
Yes, they are, yeah.
Where so many kids lose themselves into the digital world, and they're not really having a conversation.
This is true.
You know, it's sophistry. There you go. Yeah. So it's the opposite of dialogue, where they're being presented an illusory reality, and it is damaging their minds and their hearts, and it's disrupting the home environment and the culture of faith and a vision of life that we attempt to form in our homes based in faith.
Yes.
Okay, now I'm getting up on my own little pedestal here because this is and you honestly you say what's an antidote? So Carrie and I, you know, we've been blessed with all of these kids and we have to discern each and every year what's the best way of educating our children so that they can be whole, integral, you know, kids and grow into fruitful, happy, free, responsible young men and women in this world. And so we have definitely looked towards Catholic schools to be a basis for that. But just as a for instance, this year, we are homeschooling three of our kids.
No kidding.
We've literally pulled them from Catholic schooling in order to form them more fully in a way that we can in our own homes. And so it just shows how if parents being engaged in the formation and education of your kids isn't abdicating it into the hands of the educational institution that you are sending them off to day to day. But you have to work in partnership with them. And I guess what I'd like to ask is that something that is part of your own vision and philosophy at Emerald Heights Classical Liberal Arts High School?
Very much so. Tom, I have six children. My daughter, who's entering ninth grade at our new high school, is my youngest. I homeschooled all my kids until ninth grade, at which point we began to avail ourselves of the wonderful sports, music, what have you, at Mercer Island High School, and also some math. My kids all went on to Running Start over at Bellevue College, but I always held the liberal arts close in the home setting, that is specifically the literature, history, and religion. I homeschooled those all the way through. That's actually how I began teaching these small groups of homeschooling students, is because at the high school level, I do think there's value in the institution and learning in a community, if possible, when possible. But these areas carry the culture. These are the subjects that carry the culture. And so I hear you. I operated similarly.
That's awesome. So as parents are listening to this program, and so many are, and they are trying to discern, you know, okay, what can I do? Maybe right now they are not able to access what it is you all are offering. If you had to give them a suggestion, sort of like a simple next step where they can put their toe in the water, whether it's the liberal arts, whether it is considering a classical liberal arts education as something that they can do, what would you suggest would be a place for them to get started?
Maybe come to our mom's classical book reading nights. We'll have that information up on the Emerald Heights website once we get the dates and times, but that's a way they could start reading it themselves.
Also, Tom, cost for a lot of homeschooling families are large families. And so that is why we have offered the competitive pricing and the a la carte. So I know myself as a homeschooling mom, there were years, you know, I didn't want to do the fill in the blank. I frankly had never taught Latin. We used to have a fabulous Latin teacher here in the area, but she's retired and moved away, Kathy Morey. I had kids go through 12 years of Latin with her, but now thankfully we have been able to replace that. My youngest kid is going to have the fabulous Latin through Emerald Heights. So we do offer those a la carte options for families that are financially strapped but would like to offload a subject or two. Coming to the Mom's Wine and Cheese, connect with me. I've been around the block a few times with homeschooling and the classical liberal arts in a variety of settings. And start to form some community. There's a lot out there.
Well, that's exciting. Do you have a date coming up for the Mom's Wine and Cheese?
No, we don't. It will be in September. We do not have a firm date yet, but that will be posted on our website when we have that. So you can go to the Emerald Heights
.org
website, which is emeraldheights.org. And under the high school tab, we will have that information. When you go to the website, you're going to see most of it. The front page is about the K-8 school, and the high school just has a tab. So you got to pull that tab down to access information on the high school right now.
So it's not too late, folks.
Nope.
If you are considering what's the right choice educationally for my child and forming and educating them, and 9th and 10th grade, they're in the high school years, you're trying to discern what to do, where to send them, please consider getting in touch with Julie here and Laura from Emerald Heights and finding out if this is going to be the right thing for you. If you're homeschooling, this is something that a la carte can be done as well. So
absolutely,
lots of great opportunities there.
And Tom, I would love any students who are interested in just sitting in for an afternoon on the core, just seeing what it's about, just come and listen, come and audit. I this is for everyone, and I would love to show people what this is.
That's awesome. Again, I'm talking with Julie Flynn and Laura Lee from Emerald Heights Classical Liberal Arts High School. You can go to their website, emeraldheights.org, to find out more information about this really exciting thing happening here in the Puget Sound area. Well, thank you very much, Julie and Laura, for your time today. Wonderful interview, very interesting, and I love what you're doing. So press on and come back next year and give us a report on how things are going. We'd love to hear that.
We'd be happy to.
All right. God bless your day.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Tom.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Boy, what a great interview. I mentioned in the course of our interview that I had taken time to really devote free time that I had, my discretionary time, to read classics in order to, if you will, broaden the foundation. Grace builds on nature. Our human nature has a certain capacity to gain insight. You know, so you think about poetry and great literature, and has the ability to form and mold sort of core insights into being a human being. And when God's grace comes and interacts with us, it helps to build upon a human foundation. Now, this was an important part of seminary formation. And so there was that human formation element, that it wasn't just a matter of knowing theology and undertaking spiritual practices, but it was also about attending to the human dimension. Now, what do I mean by that? I'll just give you an example. So I could read the parable of the prodigal son and read wonderful biblical commentators give me insights into God the Father as the figure of the father of the prodigal son. And you've heard, I'm sure, homilies and commentaries on that reality. But I got to tell you, when I wanted to understand the nature of God as Father, and a Father who pursues us, Jesus as the Good Shepherd who seeks us out, seeks the lost sheep, one of the best places for me where it, if you will, expanded and grew my human sense of this was in David Copperfield by Charles Dickens. The character of Mr. Peggotty, he takes in his niece, one of the main characters in the book, Emily, who at one point ends up leaving and is lost to his foster father, the one who takes him in the beautiful way that he ends up pursuing her for years until he finds her before she is about to take a desperate path into potentially prostitution. And her name has been sullied in all of this. And this very powerful scene of David Copperfield there at the pier saying goodbye as this man is taking her away to Australia in order to give her a new beginning, a fresh start. And I got to tell you, it was just like, what a powerful way of conveying the meaning of being a father and what a father does. And Jesus as a good shepherd and what that means. I got to tell you, it was very enriching, just at a very human level. It expanded and broadened my own understanding of what it meant that a father pursues the wayward child and never gives up and never stops seeking. And I got to tell you, so just even thinking about that in this moment in the history of the church, it's pretty striking stuff. Pretty striking stuff, because our Holy Father, he is in need of our prayers. He's in need of our prayers no matter how, you know, things are going to unfold, whether the things that have been said about him in this letter by Archbishop Vigano, or whether these things end up being radically exaggerated and false and misleading, and he has to shepherd the church through that. He is in a position where we need to be praying for our Holy Father and for the cardinals and bishops around him in the Curia, as well as here in the United States. And so please pray. I can't tell you enough to pray for them. And in the remainder of the program, I'm going to be leaning on the insights from St. Philip Neri, who his writings on the spiritual life, he talks about three virtues as really critical or foundational. If you want to say grace builds on nature, well, if you have human nature, and then if God's grace is going to build on that, what are virtues that are essential or foundational for growing in the spiritual life? St. Philip Neri points to three of them. It's these three I've talked about before in Sound Insight, but I think there are applications for these three for the leadership of the church, our priests, our bishops, and our Holy Father. And those three are humilitas, honestas, and hilaritas. Simply translated, humility, honesty, and hilarity. But when I do that, we'll misunderstand honesty if we just think about it as not telling a lie. So I want to dig into that, but I also am going to say that it's important for us to also discern what is our part in this moment in history, because I got to say, I'm not sure there are many parallels in the history of our church that rivals what we are going through right now. Really, there are not many moments in the history of the church where you have an archbishop making claims about the successor of St. Peter, the Pope, in such a way that these claims could lead to a Pope resigning. And we have bishops that are under fire. The very top of the leadership here, the cardinals and key bishops, several of whom are facing accusations of covering up networks of active priests who are actively living out a homosexual life and betraying their vows to celibacy. And it's like these things, being able to navigate these things, is going to require holiness, is going to require, in many ways, these three spiritual gifts, these three virtues of hilarity, humility, and honesty. But it also is it also means that for us, we also are going to have a part to play. Of course, prayer. And then I don't just mean of course, but I am saying in addition, penance. So penance is our ways of making up for the damage. It's also a way of breaking up the ground. It has a way of what's called reparation. There's a way of breaking up the ground so that things that make people stuck, make situations seem stuck, they get unstuck through penance and acts of reparation. And so it's something that I've been discerning and taking some action on in my own small way, but I, honest to God, don't think it's been sufficient. I'm sensing that there's more for me to be doing in the spiritual realm first. And I say that because I'm feeling a call to do more in the outward realm, taking action. And one of the big dangers about taking action, especially when it is an attempt to maybe address what appears to be really sinful or even demonically impacted situations, is that we can begin to rely upon human thinking. We can begin to rely on our own thinking. And that means the flesh is going to come forward. That means our own weaknesses are going to come forward, our own brokennesses. See, the devil would love to get into our thinking in such a way that we start acting in unholy ways to address an unholy situation, if that's in fact what's happening here. So our need to stay rooted in prayer is that much greater. It's that much greater to stay close to the Lord, to cling to the Lord in paths of holiness ourselves, so that our discernment will be clear and our courage will be authentic. It'll be true. So with that in mind, I am going to ask you to pray for Janet Smith. Janet Smith, as you know, you may know, she has been upholding the church's teaching in sexual matters with a special focus on giving a really profound teaching, you talk about grace building on nature, based on human reason and based on faith, regarding the evil of contraception. And so her famous talk, Contraception, Why Not?, has had, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands, if not more than a million copies distributed in the, I think it's been about 20 years since she gave that presentation and has updated it. And I've had the privilege of helping to produce and distribute her resources, her many presentations, not just Contraception, Why Not?, but many other presentations that she's done through the ministry that I was directing, My Catholic Faith Ministries. And so she has just decided to take a semester off from her teaching work at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, precisely to devote herself to the situation that's emerging in the church. That is significant action. That's someone who is reading the signs of the times and taking an action that says, you know what, this is a big deal moment in the history of the church. And my brothers and sisters, we didn't choose this moment. God chose us for this moment. Do not doubt that. We didn't choose to be alive as these things are unfolding in the life of the church. But God did choose you to be alive in this moment in the history of the church. That's pretty dramatic stuff. That's pretty weighty stuff. And you know what? Each of us has a part to play. Each of us has a role to play. And do not underestimate, undervalue, discount the importance and the difference that your holiness will make in this regard. Your holiness, first of all. So your repentance, your prayers, your sacrifices, the the conforming of your life more fully to the gospel. Do not doubt that. And that, so that's the first thing. The second thing is also being willing to discern, taking serious action, even prophetic action, action that may not be understood, action that may not be agreed upon, action that may have you be vilified, maybe even by members of the church. So, for instance, our own former Archbishop, Archbishop Hunhausen, he took some very prophetic actions in the course of his shepherding of the Archdiocese of Seattle. And one of the things that he did was, for instance, at least for a time, he stopped paying his income tax. He stopped paying, and I may not get the exact details right, he stopped paying his taxes. And it was a prophetic act. Not that it made a huge difference or a dent in the economy, but it was a prophetic action saying, I disagree with what's happening regarding the federal government's funding of the military in nuclear weapons and nuclear subs. And again, I may have some of those details wrong, but this was a prophetic action that he took that was not always understood or agreed upon, but it was a way of sending a message. And I know that there are lay people and leaders among the laity who are talking about, if you want to get the attention of the bishops, then the wallet speaks loudly. And so there are good Catholics who have been faithful and generous donors to the life of the church who are wondering whether there is going to be a way to restrain or hold back on their giving until the bishops take the kind of action that will be sufficient for the moment. So that's just a for instance, and these things are going to continue to unfold. But if we're going to do these well, we better proceed according to the wisdom of St. Philip, with humility, hilarity, and honesty. What does that mean? I'll tell you in a minute.
Do you have a comment or question about today's Sound Insight radio program? Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran is produced by Sacred Heart Radio, and listener feedback is welcome. Give us a call at 800-949-1050. That's 800-949-1050. If you enjoy listening to Sound Insight, donations can be made online at sacredheartradio.org. And thank you to all of our generous donors.
Welcome back to Sound Insight. This is Tom Curran. Great to be with you today. And I am reflecting and revisiting again this theme of what do we do in the light of what's happening in the church. And I want to take it a level deeper because lots of folks are saying, pray, do penance, fast, make acts of reparation, pray a rosary, right? These sorts of things, which are fundamental, important, yes, yes, yes. But I want to ask that you pray specifically for certain spiritual attitudes, for these virtues or spiritual gifts that our bishops, our priests, our Holy Father, and we ourselves, the laity, would be rooted in these three virtues that are fundamental to growing in the spiritual life, and I think, frankly, fundamental to living well right now. And those three, again, are honestas, humilitas, and hilaritas. And so I want to break open what those mean and how they apply in this moment. So pray for honestas, right? That's honesty, right? Honesty. But honesty, it does mean, of course, you know, not lying. And frankly, you know, you listen to church leaders, bishops, archbishops, cardinals, who are literally speaking in opposite ways about the same exact situation. Someone is lying. Someone is not displaying honestas. And it's not just one, and it's not just one situation. But there are ways of talking about things that are deceptive. Utterly deceptive. And for me, that's part of the sadness. So when I read some of the commentaries or some of the responses of bishops or of reporters or of commentators who are writing about these things, it's like the manner in which they are parsing their sentences, the sophistry, the language that is being used is so like specific that they want to propose that what they're saying is true, but what they're actually doing is deceiving because they're maintaining a line of language that is correct, but it's actually creating a false impression. So for instance, if you were to read a situation where someone says, I never received a document from this person about this matter. Well, it might be the case that this person heard a tremendous amount from this other person about this matter, but it was spoken. It wasn't put into a documentary form, or it was done in an email rather than a formal document. And yet what they're saying is, no, I never received any documentation that said that happened. When what was actually reported was, well, that person was told about it. You were told about it several times in meetings. And it's like, okay, did you tell the truth or did you just lie? And they said, well, what they said was factually correct. But what they did was actually create a deceptive impression regarding what happened. And as I read the accounts of commentators and some of the players involved here regarding what they're saying or what they're proposing, it just feels far too political. It's like I'm watching, you know, political leaders who are out there with their talking points, and they're just going to maintain these talking points, and they're not going to vie left or right from this language. And these are the only questions that they can provide answers to. And then if you ask them a simple, plain yes or no question, they'll come back to their talking points. And so this is going to require, this is a lack of honestos. We need honesty. Honesty is transparency. Honestos is transparency. It's living out in the open. It's living non-deceptively. It's living in a genuine way where what is said is what is meant. That it is able to be understood by the typical person, and not the person who has to take a very fine-tooth comb or a magnifying glass or a microscope and look at every word and say what is being said and not said, what was being carved out, put off to the side. So please pray for honestos. Please pray for honestos, for a sense of uprightness, living in an upright manner. Because that's what actually is being put into question. That there are many in the hierarchy, whether it's priests or bishops, archbishops, cardinals, and now the accusation against even our Holy Father about whether someone is living in an upright manner or whether they're living in a deceptive manner, whether they're lying. So please pray for honestos. Pray for that transparency. Pray for that ring of truth, that ring of clarity, that ring of, yeah, this is open. This person is open and not coming across with a legal, political, marketing message that is talking point narrow. You get the idea. So pray for that honestos. The second is to pray for humilitas, right? Humilitas is what? It's humility, right? And that is the idea of praiseworthy self-abasement. That's one of the ways Aquinas defines humility. It's the praiseworthy manner of lowering oneself. It's the opposite of pride. What's pride? Pride is clinging to one's own thinking. That's, again, one of the definitions of pride in Aquinas. And I see far too little humilitas and far too much clinging to one's own thinking. Again, whether this is commentators, different sources of positions that people are taking on this, there's far too little humility, like lowering ourselves before this and saying, in all humility, let's not cling to our own position, but let's try to be open here to bring the facts out into the open, to examine these things without vile attacks against the messengers. Isn't that the sadness? Is that they just divert attention from the message by focusing on the messenger. And if you could put into question the intentions of the messenger, then all of a sudden, the message just gets totally undermined or obscured, rather than taking a very clean, open look at the situation. So humility, we need humility. We need it in ourselves as we look at this situation as it's unfolding. And we need to beg the Lord to pour out the graces of humility upon our church leaders right now. And sometimes humility comes through humiliation. I hope and pray that that's not the manner in which the Lord gives the gift of humility to some. Frankly, the former Cardinal McCarrick has been humiliated. He's been humbled by what has come out into the open. And so I remember very early on when I was in church ministry after I left the seminary, there was a young zealous priest, and one of his favorite sayings was, "Repent or be removed. Repent or be removed. God is not mocked. God is not mocked." And so he would play that, he would lift that up to me as an ideal in our spiritual lives. Say, be quick to repent because God's reputation is at stake. And for the sake of his own reputation, the Lord will not be mocked by those who stand in his name and represent him. And so pray for humility. Pray for the gift of repentance or removal. Pray for the grace for someone to be humbled without being humiliated, unless humiliation is the only path to humility. Third is hilaritas, and that's the virtue of hilarity, of not taking oneself too seriously. And that's really about power. That's about position. That's about people who will hide behind their position, hide behind their office, and basically say, I don't have to answer you. I don't report to you. I'm not subject to you. So I don't have to give you an answer. So I'm going to hide, obfuscate. I'm going to make things unclear. I'm going to ignore and move forward. And you know what? There's really not a lot you can do about it. That is a complete lack of hilaritas. And so we need to pray that everyone involved, us included, the laity, would be open to live that gift of hilarity, of not taking ourselves too seriously. But I also want to say this to the laity, to all of you listening, don't take yourself too seriously, but take seriously the truth that God takes you seriously. Remember, you didn't choose to be born in this moment. You didn't choose to live through this crisis in the church. God chose it. And when God chose to put you here, he takes you seriously in the part that you have to play. That's also part of hilaritas. Well, there you go. Thank you, St. Philip Neri. Pray for us. Pray for the church. And pray that we all would embrace and receive hilarity, humility, and honesty. Thanks so much for listening. God bless your day. Join me tomorrow for more Sound Insight.